read a few verses, but I want you to think about what is the value of the resurrection. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15 in verse number 32, Paul kind of summed it up like this. He said, "What advantage is it me, or what advantage do I have if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." See, we believe that Jesus Christ came. He was the Son of God. He lived a sinless life. We believe He died on a cross for our sins. But He did more than that. He rose on the third day, and because He lives, we can live. Because He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and He told us in the 14th chapter of John that He was going to prepare a place for us, we can live. In Matthew chapter number 28, in the first verse, it gives us the account of when they went to the tomb. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and let his disciples, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre in fear and joy, and did run and bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him, and said, and Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now, if you look at the accounts, there were multiple accounts to where Christ showed himself to the disciples and to many believers, and to one place to over 500. But you know, some said it didn't happen. Some didn't believe. And one account is given here in the Word of God in the 11th verse. It begins to tell it. And some, the Scripture says, and it is even told to this day. It says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." But I want you to understand this morning that there has never been a dispute of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that had any strength whatsoever. You see, there was no body found because he rose. There was no disciple that came to save his own head, to call the resurrection a hoax and say, yes, we stole his body away. And I'll tell you why. It was because they had all seen the resurrected Lord. You see, all the disciples died as martyrs for their faith. Well, why? It was because they had seen the risen Lord and they knew that his words were true. If you go on and read, it says in the 16th verse, "The 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Some still doubt today. There may be someone here today that doubts. I don't know. We assume we're all in the house of the Lord, and we believe, but some people doubt today. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I once heard it read, it was said by Paul Little, that men will die for what they believe to be true, though it may actually be false. But they do not, however, die for what they know is a lie. When these disciples saw the resurrected Lord, it invigorated them, it empowered them. And the once coward Peter, who denied the Lord three times and the third time with a curse, he became a powerful preacher that stood on the day of Pentecost and preached the word of God when over 2,000 souls were saved. The other disciples went about and they told what they had seen and what they had heard. And you know, when many tried to dispute it and they went to the tomb where Jesus' body is laid, there was one problem. There was no body. You know, there are others today who claim to be the way, but the Bible tells us there's one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Now, here's what I want you to understand. There is no risen Buddha. There is no risen Muhammad. There is no risen Confucius, because they are not gods, they're men. But there's one God and one man that's a mediator between God and men, and his name is Jesus Christ. And you know, when I begin to think about the value of the resurrection and the power of it, here's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes, because he lives. Have you ever thought about because he lives? And we're living in a time today to where people need hope like they've never needed it before. Amen. You think in a day and time when we have everything at our fingertips, when we have air conditioner and we have electricity and we have cell phones and we have all the luxuries of life, that people would be completely satisfied and content. But without God, where are people? Where are people out without a relationship with a living God? But here's the first thing that I want to tell you this morning, that because he lives, life has meaning. That means there is a reason. It's very important for us to understand. This question has been attempted to be answered by many intellectuals. What is the purpose of life? Why am I here? What is life all about? The problem with this question is that the intellectuals do not have an answer outside of the fact that you and I are created by God in the image of God, and we're the children of a living God. You see, they struggle, they speculate, they don't know, they begin to seek for reason and understanding. But what Paul said, he said, if the dead rise not, what advantage do I have? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And I want you to think about that for just a minute. What does it matter how you live if when you die you're just dead? You're just put in a hole in the ground and it's over and your life is over and your memories are lost and all hope of you is lost. What does it matter how you live? Now, folks, I want to tell you, that's what's wrong with America today. We've told our children that they're animals until we've got to the point that we're acting like it. We're not. We're the children of a living God. Amen. And it does matter. Now, here's what I want us to understand when we look at life. Because Jesus Christ lives and because he did rise, credibility is given to the Word of God. You know, people can spend all the time in the world, and some people wear the libraries out. I heard a man say one time, he said, I try to read a book a week. I want to tell you something. If we want to understand how to live our life, we need to quit going to the Christian bookstores and buying every book and begin to believe and read from the Word of God, because it's in here. People say, well, I'm looking for new light. I'll tell you, if you'll walk in the light that you're given, that's all you need. But people are not walking in the light that they have. You see, because he lives, we can trust the answers that the Word of God has given us. He's given us the answers to the most pressing questions of life. And I want you to think about these questions. Where did I come from? Do you ever stop in your busy life long enough to ask that question? Where did I come from? Where did I come from? What is the origin of life? Is it just some mistake that happened, the Big Bang Theory, and all of a sudden we grew from nothing into something and here we are? Do people really believe that? I don't really think so. I think that's a cop-out because people don't want to bow and kneel before a living God. Then there's the next question. Why am I here? Why am I on this earth? What is the purpose of my life? I feel like I'm struggling every day. I don't know what to do. I've got problems. I've got concerns. Why am I here? Because he lives, we have answers to these questions. Then the next one. This is very important. You know, as we get older in our life, and I heard somebody say yesterday, they said, I have more behind me than I have in front of me. And you know, I spoke up, and this person was much older than I was. I said, I'm the same way. Most of my life has already been lived. But where am I going? What's going to happen when I die and I close my eyes and I take my last breath? You know, just since I've been pastor of this church, we've got a little board out there that we put a name on every time we have a funeral, every time somebody takes a step out into eternity and they go out to meet God. Where are they going? Because He lives, we have an answer to that question. And then this question, you think about this for just a minute. Think about this in relation to where we are in America today. Is there such a thing as absolute truth? Is there really something that can be known as truth, that is truth for everyone, and it's not relative and it's based on your feelings? The Word of God tells us that Jesus, the person, is truth. Yes. And because He lives, we can know that truth. You and I can know that truth. You see, because He lives, we know where we came from. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and we believe that God created man in His own image. Specifically created him and created you and I because God wanted children, God wanted offspring. And He breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. You see, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, and verse number 17, it says this. It says, for by Him, by our Lord and Savior, all things were created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. It says all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things exist. Now here's what I want you to understand. Even the powers that work against Christ and work against us and those that are in the world that deny Him, they were created by Him. And you know, we sing, and there is more to the story. Folks, this is not the end. We're not just going to live our lives and pass it to everybody else. One day He's going to return in power and in glory, and all enemies are going to be put under His feet. Now, because He lives, we know where we came from. Because He lives, we know that life has a purpose. You see, we believe as Christians, and this is very important and to understand, that our lives were intended to honor Him. I've met many people who say, well, you know, I wish my life was different. And I want to tell you, there are times I go through that myself. I ask questions. I say, God, why is it this way? God, why is this struggle this way? God, why didn't this turn out this way? And then I remember that my life and the purpose of my life is to honor and glorify Him, even in the midst of my darkness, even in the midst of my trouble, even in the midst of my pain. You see, we believe that we exist as the children of God. And as the children of God, we believe that He, if He died on a cross for me, and He loved me, and He was able to create man from the dust of the earth, He hears my cries. He hears my prayers, and He's able to move in my life and on my behalf. And we believe that what we do today matters for eternity. You see, I believe the way we live today, it matters for eternity. And the echo of our life and the story of our life, it will go on and it will go on. And it's not just something that's going to be lived and it's gone. I was sitting and I was thinking about my life and some of the things that I've done. And I could remember some of the things that happened when I was a kid. And they came back and they rolled through my memory. And all of those stories, all of those journeys, all of those things work inside of me and have made me the person that I am. But all of that is going to go forward into eternity because I believe that's what Jesus rose from the grave. When we close our eyes in death, the Bible says what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what we do in life, it matters for eternity. You see, we believe that because He lives, victory is possible. Now, I'll tell you why the resurrection is important. Because when you and I pray, and the altars of this church are always open, and when we do build, and we're going to build, we're going to make the altars bigger. because I believe the altars are something that need to be used. It needs to be used by the church. It needs to be used by those that are in need. It needs to be used by those that just want to come down and say, thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you poured out on my life. Because Jesus rose from the grave, when you and I pray, we have an intercessor that's seated at the right hand of the Father. And when I cry out and I pray in Jesus' name, here's why we pray in Jesus' name. Because my name is not worthy. You see, the Bible talks about all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. What does that mean? The very best that I could offer, what could I offer a living God? But when I come before God the Father and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who did live a sinless life, who did die on the cross, who was rose from the grave, God hears me because of Jesus. You see, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14, says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, because he lives, victory is possible. That means when I have problems, I can come and I can receive mercy. I can come before the Lord and I can receive grace. I can come before the Lord and I can overcome my fears. And we all have fears. Sometimes I've seen people try to put on this strength on the outside, like they say, everything's all right, everything's good, but every person in this building has fears. And because he lives, we can overcome our fears. Because he lives, we can have victory. And here's what we need in America today. You'd think it wouldn't be this way. We can have victory to live our lives with contentment. You see, the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. But when you look at America today, you see boredom, you see lack of content, you see people that are dissatisfied. I believe the biggest concern and the biggest problem is because they don't have a relationship that's right with a living God. That's why they're trying everything else in the world to fill that empty hole. You see, because he lives, we can have victory to overcome our heartaches. We can have victory to break the chains, to overcome the things that bind us, to live and deal with and have God put the ointment of healing on the scars in our life. Because he lives. Because he lives, we can have victory to be able to laugh again. You know, there are times as pastor of a church, I see pains and I see people hurt. But you know what I really like? And sometimes I don't even know if people understand this, but you stand off at a distance. It's when people are hurting and you see the healing power of God and people be able to laugh again. I tell you why we can do that. It's because he lives. Amen. Because he's a healer and he's got power. You know, I've heard people say, and this is what some can say, because he lives, I'm not lost, but I am a born-again child of God. Because he lives, I have the peace of God over my soul. You know, you can have everything in the world, but if you don't have peace, what have you really got? Because he lives, you can have peace. Because he lives, I have obtained victory over the demons of my life. You know, we have Celebrate Recovery here on Monday night, and I love to be able to hear a testimony where a person will come up and they'll say, let me just tell you what Jesus did in my life. Let me tell you what happened in my life because he lives. Because he lives, we can overcome those things in our life. See, because he lives, I no longer live in despair and dread. I heard a man say, and these are some of the most profound words, Brother Tom, and we've shared them. What does it mean to know Christ as your personal Savior? Very simply, we have a man who's been involved with our Celebrate Recovery. Here's what he says. I'm not alone. You see, because he lives, we're not alone. There's no place you can go that you'll be outside of the power or the touch of God. You can be in a jail cell, in a foxhole. You can be off somewhere in another part of the world. But if you know Christ is your Savior, because He lives, you're never, ever alone. And He's with you. Now let's say because He lives, and you fill in the blank. See, what's happened in your life because He lives? Now I want to tell you something. As we preach and we believe here, because He lives, we believe that you can have eternal life. See, we teach that, we believe that, we believe, and I've come to the conclusion as being a pastor and having and being asked to preach funerals and a lot of them from time to time, that I've just decided that when I do, I'm going to preach just like everybody believes what I believe. And here's what I want you to understand. Because He lives, you can have eternal life. One of the great questions that has been asked, it's asked in the Word of God, it's been attempted to be answered by many, is if a man die, will he live again? Is there life after death? Job asked this question in Job chapter 14 and verse 14. He asked it, he said, if a man die, will he live again? The Apostle Paul understood the importance of the question, and he gave us the words in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. It began to tell the story about the resurrection of life, and that in the 19th verse he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But we have hope in Christ because we believe that because Jesus lives, we can live. And we believe that when our loved ones leave this walks of life and they step out into eternity, they are going to be with the living God if they've accepted Him as their Savior. People say, well, I don't know if I believe in heaven. Well, if you don't believe in it, you're probably not going. If you don't want Jesus Christ as your Savior, He won't be. If you don't want the blood to be a covering for all of your sins, it won't be applied. But here's all you have to do. Say, Lord, I want it. Lord, I accept you. Lord, I believe. Lord, I want to celebrate Resurrection Sunday because you live, I can live. You see, because Jesus Christ lives and He's on the right hand of the Father, we can live. And we can live in eternity with God. We can see our loved ones who have gone unto heaven. And here's something great. Because He lives. And this is what the world needs. Not false hope, but real hope. We can have hope that there's a living God who has this world in His hands. And even though things happen every day that we question, we shake our head at, we must understand that God is still in control. He's not lost His power. He's not lost the ability to hold things together. And He is going to return one day in power and in glory to receive His church unto Himself. You see, when I am in the deepest despair, I get my hope from God. Where do you get your hope? See, because He lives, we can have eternal life. Because He lives, we can go to heaven. But you must know Jesus as your own personal Savior. You see, the purpose of life is found in Jesus. The forgiveness of sins is found in Jesus. The hope of eternity is found in Jesus. When we walk by and we understand the power and the importance of the empty tomb, it tells us that eternal life is possible because of Jesus. It tells us that there is the fact of eternal life, and the empty tomb gives us the hope, the answer to the question, if a man die, shall he live again? You say, well, how do you know? Well, I know because the Bible tells me. And I know because I have a personal relationship with the living God. See, I can remember the time when the preacher preached the gospel, and I was sitting on this side, just a couple of rows back, a 12-year-old boy, in revival, been in church all my life, but I sat there service after service, and it was just something we did. Until one day when the preacher preached, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it was just as real as if I took a glass of ice water and threw it in your face. It was like God woke me up And he said, that preacher is talking to you. And when I felt that Holy Spirit, I want to tell you something. From that day forward, my life was different. Now, not just because I eventually went down and accepted Christ, but something happened in me as I was awakened to the fact that God was real because he called my name. And I can remember sitting there, and it wasn't but just a short time later that I felt that knock on my heart again. And that was God calling me. And God was saying, I'm real. And I want you. Will you be my child? Will you accept forgiveness for your sins? Will you allow the blood to be applied to your life? And you say, well, what has a 12-year-old boy done? You know, the Bible says if you're guilty of one sin, in the eyesight of a holy God, you're guilty of them all. Sometimes the problem people have is one of two things. They say, well, I'm really not that bad. I'm okay. I'm going to be all right when I stand before God. I'm better than this person. And here's the problem. Sometimes, well, I know so-and-so, they go to church, and I'm better than they are. It's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus did. The question is, have you ever accepted him? And you got those that think they're good enough. Well, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then you got these. That say, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm never going to bow. Well, you don't have to. But one day, what's going to happen to all of us? We're going to close our eyes in death. Sometimes it's at a young age. Sometimes it's at an old age. But it's going to happen. And I believe the Lord's already got a place prepared for me. And you know, what I'm hoping and praying is this in the mountains. You ever think about what heaven's going to be like? I do. I think about it, Brother Tom. I don't know exactly, but here's what I want you to understand. I believe this with all my heart. I believe when you get there, you're going to be satisfied. You're not going to get up there and say, oh, I thought it'd be this way. Or I thought it'd be that way. Bible says, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God's prepared for them that love him. You're going to be overwhelmed. But I want to ask you this morning. It's just this simple. We're here to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Do you want to go to heaven? I do. He said, well, I don't know if I can be like you. You don't have to be like me. You don't have to be like Brother Tommy or this choir. You know what God wants? He wants to help you be the best you can be. That's all. Don't you want to be the best you can be? Because he lives, we can live. I want to ask you to rise to your feet, and they're going to sing that song, Because He Lives. One thing we always do here, we believe in doing this. We're going to open the altar. Of course, the altar is always open. But if you'd like to come pray, we have people here that have been praying for this service for weeks. They want to have an opportunity to pray with you about your burdens. If you don't know Christ, they want to have an opportunity to take and answer any questions you have to help you. These altars are open if you'd like to pray. Anything, you just want to thank God for something this morning. If you'd like to pray, this is your opportunity.